Well, thank you, young man. Boy, I tell you what, I know it's election day. I hope you voted before you got here, or you will before your time runs out today. And we're hoping for the best, but no matter how bad the crowd is that gets in, God's still on the throne, and His word's going to still stand. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's a blessing. That sure is. That message and then the songs went just touched the right notes this morning, didn't it? And then we have Brother Don Chitty, and we're going to ask him to come. I don't know if he'll say anything about it, but Brother Chitty has quite a background, and God is using him so mightily out there. I guess we call him a missionary to the Indians, but he's actually been out there pastoring them and doing a great job with it. God made Brother Chitty a really trophy of His grace. He was in the Vietnam War. He was shot, killed, put in a body bag with others that were dead, put on a helicopter, and en route, taking them back, that one body bag began to move a little bit. And he's still here. You ought to know his testimony. Brother Chitty, I never asked you, but I wonder how the pilot reacted. Come on, preach to us.
Well, amen. It's good to be here. I'm seeing several of our supporting churches here. Brother Pledger, Brother Strange, Brother Rock. I see several of our folks that believed in old North Florida country bumpkin. Could go to the largest Indian reservation in the world and win souls. And they put their money where their mouth was and sent me. Been there 44 years now. God's good. God's good. Well, they told me this morning, they said, you're going to be mainly, it's a preacher's meeting. There'll be a lot of preachers there. And I wanted to tell the college kids, you don't know this, the sun comes up gradually. Right. Just wake up and there it is, okay? And I wanted to know that. They said the best thing to do to get a bunch of preachers stirred up to start talking about mother-in-laws. Yeah. Now, ladies, don't look at me like that. Even mother-in-laws have a mother-in-law. Amen. You ladies, just like us men, have mother-in-laws. And there was a young man that just fell in love with a woman, of his dream. He couldn't envision his mind any better woman. If there's such things as 1 through 10, she was at 11. Well, they got married, and his mother-in-law went on a honeymoon with him. He gets back home. He decided, well, on my first wedding anniversary, I got to go somewhere because when I came back with my honeymoon, my mother-in-law moved in with me. He said, I'm going to go to St. Augustine Beach, Florida, and I'm going to get one of those condos right on the beach where you slide the doors open, there's the sand, and there's the ocean. Just me and her. He couldn't wait, but his mother-in-law went with him. He slid the doors open. He walked out on the beach, fussing, cussing, kicking, and he kicked this bottle up. He picked that bottle up and looked at it, and wow, he popped top, a genie popped out. He says, you know the routine, you get 3 wishes. But what I need you to understand is we know how you feel about your mother-in-law. Whatever you get, she's getting 2 of it. She's getting double. He says, I should have known. He said, well, let's get this over with. What's your first wish? He said, be honest, we have always wanted to be a millionaire. He said, well, that's okay, but your mother-in-law's getting 2 million. I should have known. Walking on down the beach, he said, all right, what's your second wish? He said, well, I've always wanted one of those southern plantations. You know, the big, beautiful building with the white collars, pillars holding up the balcony. An oak tree's out there with moss hanging down. All the land, just look out and just see it. He said, all right, but your mother-in-law's getting 2 plantations. Walked along the beach, and the guy said, listen now, let's get this over with. We know how you feel about your mother-in-law. We don't like it. What's your third and final wish? He thought for a minute. He said, I wish somebody would beat me half to death. Amen. Well, let's see here. Let's find Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. What a joy it is to be like-minded people when you get on any mission field. You're going to find out that just because they say independent fundamental Baptist don't mean squat.
Right.
It would shock you. By the way, preacher, let me say this to you. You ought to visit your mission fields. My eye affecteth my heart. It's either going to affect you in a way you can go, wow, isn't that wonderful? Or you're going to go, I got to answer God for my mission dollar. But anyway, you need to come check things out, see things for yourselves.
Yeah.
Preacher boys, it wouldn't hurt you to go to on a mission trip. You learn a lot. You may learn what not to do, but you'd learn a lot. And preachers, you're welcome. I'd love to have you. Just show up. I've got nothing to hide. Just show up. God's been so good to us. We have a little Bible Institute. We have a 4-year-old kindergarten through 12th grade school. Little Indian kids running around everywhere. By the way, they got a soul just like you do. They're just as important to God as you are. Their skin may be a different color, and they may speak a different language, and you may have 62% without running water or electricity right here in America. You may have over 2,500 a year die of malnutrition right here in America.
Yeah.
But are just as important to God as you are. And boy, we'd like for you to jump in there and be a part of that. It's an amazing story here that you college kids, since you know everything, will already know. Please don't turn me off just because it's a familiar story. Listen to me. I'm honestly going to try to be short today. We'll probably get to lunch at 11 instead of 12, all right? But let me give you something. I said we probably will. We probably won't do. But anyway, we're going to try. We're going to try our best this morning. Just give you something to help you and go quick, all right? By the way, anything in the Bible will help you. Anything in the Bible will help you. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ daily, not just on Sunday mornings. Now, you're not going to have a pastor get in the pulpit every Monday or Tuesday, but you know your Bible and get with God every Monday and Tuesday.
Amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 10, begin reading verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus, listen carefully, we've lost the splendor of it all. We've gotten used to being saved. We've gotten used to church. We know where to sit, when to say amen. But we don't get excited about Jesus anymore. Wow. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. There's your sermon, your boys. There's your sermon. You want Jesus to stand still and listen to you? Cry out to him. And Jesus stood still. I can't get over that. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Jesus is the way. If you follow Jesus, you'll be in the right way.
Right.
You'll have the right book.
Amen.
You'll have the right music. You'll have the right man of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on now.
Yeah.
And you know that's true. Now, here's a story. Jesus' disciples and a great crowd following them. And as they're going through this place, there's a blind man sitting over here, laid out, garment laid out. He's begging. Whatever he's ever going to get is going to come from what people give him. And Jesus comes along, and the man can't see. By the way, he had heard about Jesus. He knew who he was. And when he found out it was Jesus coming by, he began to cry out to him. The crowd come over, shh. Man, don't make a fool of yourself. Isn't it amazing that we come to church anymore and we got to be dignified? Now, I think you ought to be decently in order. Don't you dare get what I'm saying wrong. But we don't, you know, word dignified means death. Would you like me to give you my impression of Elvis Presley today? You like to hear that? I'm good at it. Here's my impression of Elvis Presley. You ready? Dead as a hammer. Our church is dignified. Yeah. But he comes by there, and the crowd runs over and asks him to shut up, basically. But the Bible said he cried out the more. Jesus, by the way, like this or not, don't support me, hate me, never have me come preach for you. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh.
Amen.
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 He knows everything.
Yes.
He didn't have to wonder who that was. He didn't have to be screamed at.
Yes.
But wait a minute, he said, you have not because you ask not. Can you imagine our loving Savior saying, boys, just go get him. Get him over here. And he went and brought him to him. Now, in this story, we'll ask the college students, how many questions does Jesus ask? Do you know the answer? He asks, when he brought him over, what do you want? And we today, because we're so dignified and we know everything, we know more than God, we go, duh,
yeah.
He wanted his sight.
Yeah.
But spiritual discernment tells you there's more than that in there.
Yeah.
He didn't just throw us in here accidentally. There's a reason he's given us this story.
Yeah.
Now think about it. I believe there's three questions asked, not one. The first question is, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you preachers want? What do you college kids want? What do you preacher? What do you want? And I guarantee you, we all want something.
Yeah.
I want my mama saved.
Yeah.
I want my daddy saved.
Yeah.
Right up here in the big city of Stark, Florida. Brother Pledger's neighborhood. No, I'm kidding. He's at Middleburg. But right up there in Stark, Florida. My old drunk daddy. I didn't have a mama growing up. My mama left me when I was a little bitty boy. Daddy raised us the best he could, but every weekend he got drunk. Hard worker during the week, but every weekend he'd get drunk. I was 22 years old, got out of Vietnam, was in the Marine Corps and everything. The first time I saw the inside of a church, first time I'd ever seen the Bible. I could not find John 3:16 in the Bible, and I was 22 years old. I got saved, and for 17 and a half years, on my face. I ain't talking about occasionally. On my face, I pray for my daddy to get saved.
Amen.
And my daddy got saved.
Amen.
I wanted that.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Some of you fellows say, boy, I want to get out of college. Good luck with that one. But anyway. Some of you are professional students. How long have you been here? 12 years? Okay. But you'll want to get out of college, and you'll literally say, boy, if I could just have a big church. Be careful what you ask for. Or if I could just be somebody. Oh, grow up. Get a clue. Oh, I want this in my life, and I want that. I want the prettiest girl in college to marry me. Get over yourself, buddy. It ain't gonna happen. But all of us want something. You know that? I'm talking about just honestly. We all want something. I'm going to be honest with you. I ask much of God. But I have a God that can give much. I went to the mission field, zero deputation. Zero. The first 18 years on the mission field, I never had one church support me. Not one. Now, that's not their fault. I never went on deputation. That's my fault. I graduated on Monday night. Friday morning at 4 o'clock, I was on the mission field. And I went, I struggled. And I began to ask God, Lord, I could do more if I had some money. People wouldn't call on me to come to the church and lead in silent prayer. And now I've got more meetings than I can handle. Isn't that amazing how that works? I found out that I could referee a high school ball game on Friday night, a college game on Saturday afternoon, and make more money than I could working 60 and 70 hours a week. So I did that for 33 years. Matter of fact, you don't know this, but I'm in the Referees Hall of Fame. I really am. But I did all those things, but I never wanted to do them. I wanted to build a church. And I asked God, oh God, help me build a church. I want it to be here's what I want. I want a Christ-honoring church with a sweet spirit where the music's just wonderful and the preaching is spot on. A place where people can be saved outside on the highways in and inside the church. I want a place where they can follow the Lord in believers' baptism. I want a place where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you call this selfish, but I want them to, watch me now, I want them to stay after they get saved and baptized. So they can grow in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's where the selfish part come in. And Lord, also have them give their tithes and offerings. And bring others in that we may continue growing. And that's the way I pray for my people. But we ask, I'm trying to get a point across to you this morning. We all want something from God. And don't be afraid to ask for big things. I mean, he's asking here, what do you want? Yeah. Oh, if I just could see. And you know what? That's how the sermon goes. You start preaching on point number one, you can see this. And point number, you know what I'm talking about. And people like this, dear brother, could preach that. Us Hicks ain't got a clue. What do you want? I want my sight. I want to see a big church. I want to see Daddy saved. I want to see my brother and sister saved. I want to see my wife saved. I want to see this done. I want to see that done. I want to be able to see you do something, God. I've seen things. I want to see you do something. If I could just get my sight. So the first question he asked here is, what do you want? And every one of you, because I know you got more than a peanut for a brain, are thinking something of right now that you want. There's something you're thinking of right now that you want. Yeah. Now, I'll go a step further. I knew I was coming here. You can't speak on politics in this church. You're getting in trouble. But I knew I was coming here, so I went early voted. I'll even tell you who I voted for. I voted for the Republican of my choice. but we want... people like me, this is what we want about politics. We don't want the Democrats to take over.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
We don't even want them to gain any seats.
Right.
And we want the strongest message in history to be sent.
Yeah.
We want Republicans to gain a few more.
Yeah.
You'd have people committing suicide.
Yeah. That's right.
They just couldn't take it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't only move to Canada and wherever else they lied about. That'd be committing suicide.
Yeah.
To them, the world would be over.
Yeah.
But God would be giving us another chance to do something for him.
Yeah.
He gave us a chance when we had the miracle and didn't get in the White House what we could have got in there.
Yeah.
And we did not take advantage of it.
Right.
Shut up talking about politics. But we all want something.
Yeah.
We want somebody to like us. Amen. They'll like you to your face. They get around a bunch of other preachers and they'll have fried preacher and eat you alive. But the first question is, what do you want? What do you want? But watch this carefully. Second question in there that y'all didn't see. Second question is, how bad do you want it? Right. Anybody still with me? Now, I know what you want, but how bad do you want it? He wanted it. Here's how bad he wanted it. He cried out. He was unashamed. Now you can imagine, the Bible says it wasn't just Jesus and the disciples. It was Jesus and a great number of people going along with him. Now, as that great number is coming into town, then the numbers begin to grow. I'll prove it to you. Drive down the highway and let them be a bad wreck somewhere. You don't go, oh, let me take another street. Oh, no, you got to go. Oh, arm missing. Oh, he ain't got no head anymore. Why? We always gravitate to what's going on with the crowds. That's why everybody wants to be the next Joel Osteen and have a mega church. You're dumber than a day-old goat. And the crowd got bigger and bigger. And this is what he did. Unashamedly, in front of that big crowd, he cried out, Jesus! We go out to eat. And when it's time to pray for the food, we act like we're like black pepper in our eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the food. What church y'all go to? The panhandlers. I know y'all don't have them here. But you'll drive a church van into a parking lot. Not at hell, but that place next to hell. What's that called? Oh, Walmart. Yeah, you'll drive your don't look at me like that. Don't tell me you're a man if you like to go to Walmart. Don't want to hear it. 38 cash registers, two's open. Yeah. Right. And it don't matter if you're in Florida or New Mexico. It's true. Right. You go in there and somebody will see you. Park your church van. Here come the panhandlers. Hey, y'all from the church, brother. Yeah. They're everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah. That's right.
Listen to me carefully. People ask what church you go to. Are you ashamed of what church you go to? What your pastor's name is? Go out soul winning. 90% of the time they go, oh, I go to church. Really, which one? Well, you know it's over there by, what's your pastor's name? Oh, it's just right on the tip of my tongue. How bad do you want what you've been asking for? He wanted it so bad he was unashamed. Amen. Not only that, verse 48, we find out he wanted it so bad he went against the crowd.
Yes, sure did.
Yes. Fellas, listen to me carefully. You and Jesus make up the majority.
Yes.
You don't need the crowd. They need you.
Right.
They need you to preach to them in such a way the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin. And somebody can tell them how to be saved then.
Amen.
You don't need them, they need you.
Right.
We will lie, steal, and cheat to get a big crowd.
Yeah.
We'll change our music.
Yeah.
We'll take name Baptist off our sign out there.
Yeah.
We'll change Bibles.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll make the church look like not an outhouse, what's that cane thing called? Get out of whatever they call it when you go at night. We want to change it to look like one of them places.
Yeah.
We throw our suit and tie away and throw the pulpit out and get us a bar stool.
Yeah.
Some of you preachers are getting mad now. I know why. Amen. We'll join the Bible the Month Club.
Yeah.
Whatever gets a crowd.
Yeah.
Why are you ashamed of Jesus? Why are you going with the crowd? How bad do you want it? He cried out. He was unashamed. He went against the crowd. And by the way, the Bible said he cried out the more.
Right.
You, You can go to church. Just don't be one of those fanatics.
Really?
Why do you always have to say something about the King James Bible? Amen. This is 2018.
Well, I thought he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thought his word changed not. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand. Just saying. Why is it that he cried the more? What popular? What we preach, fellas, is not popular. It used to be. I got saved in 1970. Right up here in the big city of Hampton, Florida. Listen to me carefully. Is anyone listening? Back then, the biggest churches in America was Independent Fundamental Baptist churches. And now we have to lie, steal, cheat, change the Bible, take the sign down, change our clothes to get a couple hundred to come to church. I'd rather preach to 10 believers than 1,000 non-believers. But he cried the more. He went against the crowd. And you know what? Boy, I got to show you this. This is amazing to me. You fellas okay? You've seen a real man before, haven't you? I got to have knee surgery. I don't know if I can do this or not. He sat by the wayside. The Bible said he had his garment. Some people may come by and put a cluck of figs or a clump of raisins. Maybe some non-living bread. Maybe some coins. Money. And only thing he was ever going to have. Are y'all listening? There was no food stamps. There was no welfare. There was no lottery he could win. He cast everything he would ever have was what they put there. And Jesus said, "What do you want?" And then he said, "How bad do you want it?" Now watch this carefully. I'm a scripturalist. I believe the book. The Bible said he threw his, cast his garment aside. Everything he was depending on to get through the day, the week, the month, the year. Everything he was depending on, he is now cast away. Are you still listening? That don't sound like much to it because it's a beggar, correct? I mean, after all, he was a beggar. That's a big deal. He didn't have anything to cast away. I tell you what, he cast away everything he had. Everything he had, he cast it away. Hey, what do you want? But wait a minute. How bad do you want it? We pick on you colors, guys. We used to be where you're sitting. We wanted the same things you wanted. And just like you, we wanted the easy way. We wanted a victory without a battle. They don't come. We wanted a bunch of souls saved while we sat on a couch and watched TV. We wanted power from God and sleep at noon. Amen. We wanted somebody to give us. If you lost your college notes, you might as well just go commit suicide. You can never preach again. Amen. And then we want all of these things without getting it. I had a man come in my office one day, well-dressed. I'm talking about well-dressed. And he came in and introduced himself. He was from a different state. And he came in and he said, "I don't know how to say this." And I said, "The best thing to do is just say it." He said, "Well, God has told me you're to move out and I'm to take over." I run across that desk. I grabbed him and hugged him. I said, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Boy, I went back to the other side of the desk, and I took out the checkbooks and gave to him. And I took all the bills out, and I put on the counter. He said, you're going to agree with this? I said, oh, I've been praying about this one. He looked through the checkbooks, and he said, the balance is minus $195? Yes, sir. And your bills are over $8,000 a month? Yes, sir. That's if we don't need a battery or a window gets broke. I said, that's if it goes smooth. Yeah. He said, what's your salary? I said, you don't understand. I don't get a salary. Been here 44 years. I don't get a salary. And I have to go off and preach and raise the $8,000 to pay those bills. You thought, and son, you don't know how glad I am you showed up today. May God bless your gizzard. You want me to stick around, or you want me to just get out of your way? Please tell me you want me out of your way. He stood up and said, well, I don't want that. I said, I know what you want. You want to come out there and see 500 Indians sitting there listening to you preach. You want to see 102 kids in your Christian school. You want to see 25 adults in your Bible Institute. You want to see buses bringing in 300. But for 3.5 years, young man, I preached to my wife and boys and nobody came. Amen. For 5.5 years, I lived in a 19-foot travel trailer in the desert without running water or electricity with a wife and two little boys. You want what I've got now.
Yeah.
Listen, what do you want? How bad do you want it? But then he asked the third question. You said, preacher, I've read it 1,000 times. I don't see we only asked but one question. This is not an accidental story. Jesus just happened accidentally to put in there. There's a reason to put it there. There's a third question in this story. Watch this carefully. First question was, what? What do you want? And the second question was what? How bad do you want it? And the third question was this. Now stay with me. Please don't leave me yet. The third question is, what you going to do with it when you get it? What you going to do with it when you get it? You want a big church? To whom much is given, much is required. You want to see hundreds saved? To whom much is given, much is required. You want a lot of money? To whom much is given, much is required. I mean, if you really get what you want, what you going to do with it? Boy, I hate to tell you all this. Did you hear me? God already knows what you'd do with it if he gave it to you. Now, let me make everybody mad at one time. That's why you ain't got it. If you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father? Amen. God wants to give it to you. But can he trust you with it? I mean, what do you want? How bad do you want it? And what you going to do with it when you get it? Amen. I can see Jesus saying, son, I'll give you what you want. I can see how bad you want it. But do you understand things would have to change? People will know something has changed about you. And you won't be able to sit there and beg anymore. You'll have to go to work. Now, if I give you what you want, no matter how bad you want it, what you going to do with it? Because you'll have to make some changes. Amen. And to whom much is given, much is required. I mean, how many really think about it for just a second? No more begging. You'll have to go to work. I said it last night, and it's no bigger than that. It's just scribbled on a piece of paper when I knew I was going to preach to preachers this morning. And I saw this. Now, watch me carefully. What do you want?
He said, hey, you got no right to talk to me like that. I've been pastoring 50 years. God bless your sweet little gizzard. I don't care if you hadn't started yet or if you've been out there 50 years. What do you want? How bad do you want it? What you gonna do with it when you get it? Watch, be careful with you. Jesus will pass by. He's a friend, sticketh closer than a brother. He will pass by. You know how to get his attention? You got to cry out to him. And when you get his attention, he's going to ask you three questions. What do you really want? How bad do you want it? What you going to do with it when you get it? Yeah.